following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
We're going to have Geoff and Bethany, or Jeff and Bethany, come on up as they lead us into the key of conflict.
A couple things I would just... Mike and Susie do this every year where they bow out of the competition for marriage, but this is year 50 for them, right? Anniversary. So, humbly, they bow out of the race. But I will just say, here's the cool thing. As you look around the room, there's couples who've been a part of Refuge, and I'm sure other churches as well, who are longtime married couples that give younger couples hope, that give stability to a church in the way that they carry themselves, that the way that they honor the Lord with their marriages. And then through times of getting to maybe some crisis, they get to speak into other couples' lives. But just the mere picture of someone being married for 50 years is no small thing. And really, the body of Christ needs that. So when you come to a retreat like this, you know that it's anchored by a lot of faithful men and women who've just stood the test of time in their marriages. And so I think that is to be commended. I know it's not something that's just easy. I really actually think maybe it gets better over time. I would just say it's newlyweds. It gets better. It gets more natural over time, the more you invest in your time with the Lord. But I think we as the church need to recognize some of the wisdom and the length of time that people have been married, because that does give us stability. And so when we have a retreat like this, we know that if we should ever have a trouble in our marriage, we could go to some couples that are here at Refuge. And again, I don't want to just recognize Refuge, other churches as well, where you could go and say, hey, you've been doing this for a while. Would you help us? And so I just want to thank you guys, Mike and Susie and all the other couples here. Yeah. And I was going to bring this up later on. So there's a couple high school people I had in my high school youth ministry, and Helen and Christian, well, Helen and Christian's over there as well. I had in my high school youth ministry, and now they're married and they're at this retreat. And that is pretty cool. But the thing that's cool about it is that next generation is going to need my generation to be the 50 years and the 40 years. And so some of you who are sitting in my generation, we are that bridge. And so I would say keep fighting for your marriage. Don't let that slide. Don't become lax in your relationship with the Lord. Keep building that, because the next generation is coming and this room will look different in 20 years and 30 years. And there needs to be people who can say, well, they've been married for 50 years. Let's go talk to them, right? So keep fighting for that. And I'll just tell you, the church, Big C Church, needs that. They need men and women who are fighting for marriage. So keep fighting for marriage, because there's youth coming behind us. Sons, your daughters, your grandkids that need that stability in their marriage. And so thank you guys for laying that groundwork for us. Yeah. Lord, thank you so much again for the Mike and the Susie of the Big C Church that you've planted in churches all over the United States. But we're thankful for them being at Refuge, Lord, and other couples like them who have just walked through this, who love deeply, deeply love marriage. Lord, so much so that they would run this retreat for years and years and years so that other people could benefit in their marriage. And Lord, we need more faithful marriages like that to look up to. So would you use us, Lord, in areas maybe that we need to work on and be strengthened? May we do that so the next generation coming can see healthy, vibrant, fun, exciting, peace-filled, Jesus-filled marriages. So Lord, would you do that? And I believe you're going to. I believe in advance that you will do that, Lord. And so, but you're going to use people in this room for that, for their kids and for their grandkids to look up to. And so Lord, we just want to turn our attention to you tonight as we talk about that one of the keys of a healthy marriage is dealing with conflict appropriately. So would you speak to us tonight in that area? Amen. 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 All right, so we'll just kick this time off. I want you to think about it with this with your spouse for just a moment. What do you think are the top five things that people fight about in marriage? What are the top five things? Go ahead and talk to your spouse about it. Write it down on a piece of paper, just anywhere you have it. Top five things that cause conflict in marriage. Top five things. All right, here we go. Let's see how you. How many you guys got? You guys got four or five down? All right. What do you think then? This is, there's so many different, there could be a lot of different things. This is, comes out of Relevant magazine, but actually it was fairly consistent. What do you think the number one thing that causes conflict in marriage? Money. It was money, right? So FPU, right? Peter and Linda Wright, they do FPU. Take that. De-stress your marriage by taking FPU. Second thing. Sex. All right. That's number two. So probably lack of, or I don't know.
Whatever.
I think probably lack of.
Whatever. No.
Number three, work. Work causes stress, conflict within a marriage. Number four, kids. Kids were number four. Number five, chores. Who does what around the house, or he doesn't do enough, or she doesn't do enough, and kind of going back and forth on that one. Some of the little extra ones that got put in there. Do anybody have any other ones?
In-laws.
Who said in-laws? That's on there, but not in our marriage.
Nope.
Nope. We love it. We love it. Never an issue over that. It's perfect. It's good though. No, we
it
have
is
great
good.
In-laws. Free time. What do we do on free time? And then time and attention is another one that causes conflict in marriage. Is there anyone that you, yeah. Discipline of kids, yes.
Yep.
That is we can have that at times for sure. Write down in your notebook, here's what we're gonna do real quick, just look back with each other again. Actually, here's what I really would love for you to do. Don't let your spouse see what you're gonna write down on this piece of paper, but write down the last conflict that you had that you can remember. Write down the last conflict that you had, but don't let your spouse see it. So you're gonna keep it from each other. Here's what I think it was, and write it down. So just write that down on a piece of paper. We're gonna cause conflict right now is what we're gonna do.
And then show you how to resolve it. No.
What was the last conflict that you had? Now look at each other and share with each other what the last conflict was. We're like, what was it? I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
If they don't remember it, they're forgivers, quick forgivers.
All right. Did your spouse get it right? How many you guys got the same one? You're like, it just happened like 5 minutes ago. Yeah, right? How many of you guys got it wrong? Anybody think, oh, they didn't get that right? Okay.
So I heard a marriage counselor say, good news, there's good news for hard marriages. Three words, join the club. Because he said in all marriages, there are different stages of life that are going to be tough. So all of us are going to have tough marriages at different times in life.
We're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 4 tonight. So if you would just turn with me, if you've got it, slip to your phones. Don't look at the angel game because they're winning by one run. That doesn't matter. Nehemiah chapter 4, if you turn there. Now, I will just preface this message with, this is not a marriage passage. So some of you who are hardcore and are thinking to yourselves, this is not a marriage passage. It's not, but here's what it is. It is a God promise passage. It is retaking something that the enemy has stolen and God giving it back to the people again. It's a defending passage that the people of Israel are gonna defend what God has called them back to again. And if you know the text, the people of Israel are coming back into the land. Nehemiah's got this special call to rebuild the wall and reestablish Israel again back away from captivity. And so it isn't a marriage passage, but it's a great conflict passage and how we kind of wrestle and deal with conflict. So tonight we're going to just pull some principles out of that Nehemiah chapter 4 passage, and we'll take a look at that tonight.
So, did you want to do the background though?
That was
okay. Fine. Okay. So they are building the wall for protection in the midst of conflict. The wall does not keep conflict from coming, right? The conflict is coming, but the wall is protection from conflict. And we, in a way, need to build a wall around our marriage to defend it. Some of us need to take back what the enemy has stolen, regaining ground and defending what we have. So we want to identify where conflict comes from, and we have identified three areas where conflict comes from and ways that we need to be defending our marriage.
And I would just say one of the things that kind of stood out to us in this text is that this wall is not a small deal. It's actually quite a big deal. In fact, we saw that it was 2.49 miles long, 39 feet high, 8 feet thick. So this is not a small deal. It wasn't like the wall around our backyards, right? It wasn't like, hey, let's just spend a couple days. We'll get this thing going. But it was a pretty significant calling and process. And I think the same thing is true when we think about defending our marriages. It's a big calling. And it's not easy. And it's a lot of labor and hard work. And so, especially as if you're newlyweds, that you're doing the right thing and saying, listen, we're going to establish something by coming to a retreat like this. We're going to start building onto this wall because we know the attacks of the enemy are coming. In fact, here are three things that we said. We said Satan, others, ourselves. Those are our three main points tonight. Satan is going to come against your marriage. Others will come against your marriage. And we actually even can be one of the biggest deterrents to our own marriages as well. So we'll look at the first one. The first one is Satan. The first relationship God created, you remember what it was? What's the first relationship? Marriage, right? Adam and Eve, and he establishes this thing called marriage. And what is the first thing the enemy do? He comes against that relationship. In fact, in Bethany's Bible, it says, in Genesis 4, it says, this is the initial conflict. Already, the enemy, Satan, comes against this thing called marriage. And we know he's doing it today, right? Not pleased at all with the way that you are here this weekend. Starting to add to and build on to your wall. Satan is not pleased when he sees we are building up marriages. His response is much like in Nehemiah chapter 4. Sanballat responds. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. You'd think a great thing. People coming back into their land. Yay! Right? No. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant. Nehemiah 4, 2 and 3. What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burned? Whatever they build, it will break down. Nehemiah 4, 7 through 8. When Sanballat and others heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Now, this thing that maybe looked good for some was terrible for them. In fact, I would just say that the enemy loves to break down marriage. Hates the fact that we are building and adding. I mean, if you think about God doing this thing called creating one between Adam and Eve, and he did that with your spouse, then the thing that the enemy wants more than anything else is to pull that apart. Right? To separate it, to ruin it. Hates the fact that you're building a family together. Would love to pull you apart and ruin your family. Would love it. Like, that's his thing. That's his jam. That's what he does, right? He pulls apart families. So we have to battle against it.
So three ways we see Satan trying to cause conflict in our marriages, as he did with the Israelites. One of them is hopelessness. Satan wants us to question if we will ever live in peace, if we will ever feel safe, if we will ever feel protected. He wants us to look at the rubbish as they did in our marriages and just give up hope. In verse 10 of chapter 4, they said, there is so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. It seemed hopeless. It seemed too hard. We need to clear out the rubbish. Sometimes that's hangups. It's unforgiveness. It's addictions. It's other relationships. And I don't know all of you in this room, but I can guarantee that some of you may be here this weekend feeling like you are standing in a pile of rubble that was once your marriage. You know, you feel just that picture of looking around and being like, how are we ever going to rebuild this? We know people who have been in that place in their marriage that have stood there and just been like, it's a mess. It's a total mess. It's too hard. It's hopeless. I give up. But we have also watched them pick up the pieces, clean out the rubbish as hard as it was, and start building it back up again. They did the hard work. They had the hard conversations. They got rid of the things that were causing conflict in their marriage. So Satan lies and tells us that it's never going to get better. Because when you start rebuilding, it's hard and it takes time. And he makes you feel like it's just going to be destroyed all over again. So just give up. Don't work hard at it. But that process of restoration takes time. At lunch today, we were talking to Annie and Jeremiah, and their sweet little 3.5-year-old boy just broke his ankle, was it? His leg, just broke his leg, just jumping off a little thing at the playground. And how long did that break take? A second. He jumps down, that break's done. It took him 4 months from a cast to a little, what are those
walking
called?
Boot.
Walking boot, all that stuff. So the injury is quick, but that process of healing and restoration, it takes longer. It takes time. And we have to be patient with one another. After a breakdown, we need to be patient because some of us are going to reach the point of healing before the other person does. And we have to be patient for that other, for our spouse, because we can't be like, are you not over this yet? We have to be patient and pray for them and be there for them and ask the Lord to continue to do the healing in them that he's already done for you.
And I would just say, add to that, there in those moments when the enemy attacks, there seems to be like good seasons and bad seasons. There's ups and downs. There seems like, oh, things are going, they're going great. Like we're totally defeating the enemy. He has no hold on us. And then there's this something that happens that triggers, now we're in a bad season and we're having to work through that. It's those couples that just don't give up, that just keep going and going and going. And I think we just respect that. That's such a huge thing to continue to walk through. And so keep walking through those seasons, even when the enemy attacks. The second way Satan tries to cause conflict is through confusion. Confusion is that second way that the enemy will try to get at your marriage. Like Sanballat in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 8, if you look at that, all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem. And look what it says there, and create confusion. Hey, let's get into those walls. Let's get into those people, and we will create confusion amongst them. It's one of the tools and tricks of the enemy. When we look at this, when we look at marriage as a whole, the things that cause confusion oftentimes are thought life, things we allow that our brains to take control over us, and we just let it kind of run. And so we think about lust. We think about, like we talked about a little bit this morning, assuming the worst about our spouses. Oh, I know what he's doing. I know what she's doing. And that begins to cause confusion within this primal, most important marriage relationship called marriage. Disconnect. We don't fight it off. We kind of just dwell in that. And we allow him to cause confusion amongst each other. That's why the Bible says, take every thought captive. That you're really fighting to say, I can identify that thought is not from the Lord. That the thing that's so heavy upon me, God, I don't think that's you. I think that's the enemy's attack on me. Satan will do what he can to make you feel foolish for working through conflict. Oh, he's going to take advantage of me. I can't say that because he's going to use that against me. And those are the things, those words of healing that you want to speak and the enemy will keep you away from. You got to take that bold faith step and say, this is what we need to do as a man of God, as a woman of God. I need to say this to my husband. I need to say this to my wife. I can't stay in this place of confusion. I don't apologize because I don't want to look weak. Can we all identify that's not of God, right? I don't want to apologize because I don't want to look weak in this situation. That's not the Lord. It's okay for me to keep that away from him or her. I don't want to tell her that. Like, we can all identify that's not of God, right? That's not a godly statement. If I tell her, oh my gosh, she'll be so mad, so I'm just going to keep that a secret. Right? That's confusion within the marriage. That's confusion. We need to bring those things into the light.
And so the third way that Satan brings conflict is he'll try to blindside us. If you look at verse 11 of chapter 4, it says the enemy says they will neither know or see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. And sometimes the enemy will suddenly swoop in, and before we know what's happening, we're in this ginormous fight that we just have no idea where it came from. We've had that where I'm like, what happened? We were fine a second ago. And sometimes you just got to stop and be like, this is the enemy for sure. Or just that lustful thought or whatever it is, a thought of being disconnected. We just don't know each other anymore. Or, you know, there's just being all of a sudden you're angry. All of a sudden you're agitated and things like that. And recognizing that as a spiritual attack from the enemy.
On the way to church, mm-hmm. on the way to Bible study. Yes. These are common
before
times,
you're going to teach before you're going to teach or something.
All times when it's like, oh, this is definitely not the Lord, right? This is not preparing my heart to be a godly man or a godly woman. And so just identifying and saying, man, this is the enemy. I think we can't brush aside this idea. Well, he doesn't exist. No big deal. Whatever. Like, we need to identify and say, this is his attack on our marriage. So then what should we do to respond to the enemy? What do we do in order to combat Sanballat? What do we do to combat the enemy? Well, I think we just have to be ready. You have to be prepared. The worst thing you could do is say, I don't think he exists. It's not a big deal. That is the worst thing because there's lack of preparation in that. Instead, we begin to get prepared for it. Look at Nehemiah 4:17, the second part. It says, with one hand, they worked at the construction. They worked at the wall. And with the other, they held a weapon. Every one of the builders had his sword girded to his side as he built. They were ready. They were working and they were ready. They were defending, working and defending, working and defending. And that's the same thing we need to do in our marriage. And that's what you're doing this weekend. You're working on your marriage. You're defending it. You're saying, listen, this is important to us. And so I'm going to continue to work on my marriage, identifying the fact that I know there's an enemy, God's enemy, who would love to break us apart, love to ruin our family. Work and defend, work and defend.
So our response should be, take it to the Lord. You see in Nehemiah verse 4, Nehemiah doesn't reply. He doesn't argue with Sanballat. He takes it directly to the Lord. He brings his request to the Lord. We don't want to spend time mulling over the attacks that the enemy brings into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. If we start thinking through those lustful thoughts or start thinking about how frustrated we are about this or that, and we're just having this conversation with the enemy, we take it to the Lord right away. We go quickly to the Lord. And another response to the enemy should be, we rest in the victory that Christ has in our life. The enemy knows that we already have victory in Christ. So when we come to the Lord, in verse 15, Nehemiah 4:15, Nehemiah says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that they were going to do this, they were going to sneak attack, and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. So when we know the enemy's ploys, we call out to the Lord, and the enemy's like, oh, they know what's going on. And so that's what stuff like this is about, recognizing this is the enemy. I'm calling on the Lord. Your ploys are they're going to come to nothing. So,
and I'll just say that this is so important that you look at the big picture of your life, right? Look at the big picture that ultimately I want to be a man of God, and I want to honor my wife. And so as a man of God, the big picture is Christ is my Savior. I recognize, and we just sang it. This Aaron just led us in these awesome, powerful proclamation type songs where it says Jesus is returning, Jesus is coming, Jesus is the victory. I have to believe that in my heart and live out of that, even in my marriage. And so the big picture is Christ has already become victorious. He's already won. And now these things that are going on between us, in light of that is how I respond. It's not I respond to this first and then we all help us, Jesus, and then we keep fighting. It's Jesus is primary, the Lord over my life. I'm molding myself to him because his is the victory. My hope is in him. And then I turn and now we have that conflict, but the conflict should look different, right? It still can hurt. It still has all those things. But in light of that, we walk through that struggle together based on the confidence that we rest in Christ's victory. It's his victory. He's already won. We have the hope of heaven. And now in light of that, this on earth, we have conflicts, but we deal with it in who Jesus is, not this. This is not the most important thing, right? This is the most important thing, and then we do this. Now we're together. So the fights and the arguments, yeah, we're going to walk through that because we know who we are in Christ.
So in review, when conflict from the enemy comes, what do we need to do? We need to be ready. For the enemy's attacks, we need to bring it quickly to the Lord, go quickly to him, spending time in prayer with him, spending quiet time with him, and then get back to work. Get back to the work of building your marriage. So the first conflict causer to our marriage is Satan. The second thing that brings conflict into our marriage is others. If you look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, Sambalat says that he mocked the Jews. The others, when we talk about the others that cause conflict are in our marriage, is the world around us, or maybe those we work with. Our friends may mock us for wanting to build up our marriage by keeping our guards up, by keeping doing what we need to do to protect our marriage, for refusing to have lunch or coffee with a coworker of the opposite sex, or for choosing not to look at pornography, even if you're married and you do it as a couple, choosing not to stay out late with friends, you know, constantly. And for sticking around and working things out when things get hard. The world can mock us for being like, why are you still
staying
there?
Staying with him. Why are you going to stay with him? Why are you going to stay with her? He's a jerk.
He's so shallow.
Yeah. The discouragement from people around you.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other way that the enemy uses others is he can bring people across your path to try to bring conflict into your life. And I was at Jack's, probably a month ago, our son is 9 and he plays baseball. So I went to the field to drop him off. They have to be there an hour early for practice. And so I dropped him off, walked him to the field, and I'm walking back. And the crazy thing is, just that day, I was having one of those days when you look in the mirror, I'm sure we've all had it, where we look in the mirror and we're like, I'm not what I used to be 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You know, you're just like, oh, you know, I'm looking older. I'm looking this, and having an insecure day. So I'm walking back and this car had pulled up right here and a guy's sitting there and he waves. And so I wave thinking, oh, he must be on one of the teams. I don't recognize him. He must have been one on one of Jack's teams or something like that. And I'm so I keep walking to my car and he pulls around like this and circles around, and I'm thinking, oh, he's waiting for my spot because he stops here. And I'm walking, and I'm like, I'm not leaving, sorry. He's like, oh, that's okay, but you're very attractive, by the way. And I'm all, thanks. And like, I start booking it to my car. I'm like, because this doesn't happen to me. Like, I don't know. So I'm just like, by the time I get in my car, I was shaking, and I was just like, and right away I was like, this is how Satan does it. This is how he does it. On the day I needed to hear somebody tell me I was attractive, he can send people. He has power. He's not all powerful, but he can guide people in certain ways. And by the way, what is a man doing picking up on women who are dropping off their children at the baseball field anyway? So I'm just like, this is so weird. And so I'm like, this is how the enemy does it. And I'm not saying that, I don't know. If I had stopped and been like, oh, thanks, are you here dropping off your son or whatever, carried on a conversation, who knows where that kind of stuff leads. But the enemy likes to bring people across our path to see if he can open the door and bring destroying conflict into our marriages. And so I went home, I'm like, craziest thing happened today. And I wasn't going to say
it. I was like, where is that guy?
And yeah, I went home and I told him. That's another important thing, is I went home and I told my husband. Because bringing that thing to light and being like, I'm not messing with this. This is not going to be some little thing I'm going to play with in my mind. You know, I'm bringing it to light, bringing it to my husband, because if we choose to entertain it, it's all over. My mom shared a story with our women's Bible study a couple weeks ago of a woman who took the train to work. And there was a guy who took the same train, and they just casually started talking. And then she started noticing she was starting to dress for this guy in the morning, you know, kind of realizing she's starting to dress in a way that she wanted, you know, this guy's attention. And so she comes home and she tells her husband, this is kind of like what I'm feeling. What should I do? And he says, take another train. Like, these things are simple things, you guys. They're not easy, because whatever train she had to change to may have taken longer, may have had more stops. It's not always easy, but it's simple. You take another train. You walk away. You book it to your car, and you sit down in your car with your head down. So we take another train. Pastor Andy Stanley, when a woman, he's had, you know, people want to counsel with him and things like that, and he never counsels with women. on their own, or I think even ever, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, you know, a woman would come and say, hey, I would really love some counseling. And he just said, I don't counsel women. And some women have become very offended and very upset. And he's like, I would rather offend one person to save the lifetime of my marriage. So you guys, offend people. Block.
Be offensive.
Be offensive. Block their numbers. Unfriend them. Yeah. Block them from following you on whatever. And quit or take another train or do whatever you need to do to save your marriage.
Yeah.
Or go to a different coffee shop or a different grocery store or something like that.
Yeah, and sometimes it's, just you recognizing that within yourself. Hey, I need to move on. Nehemiah 4:4, Nehemiah asked God to fight for them, to return the enemy's plans, to turn the enemy's plans on their heads. And I thought, we kind of just thought, man, this would be a good time just to take a pause. And let's just pray right now. We'll pray over you guys in this area because we truly believe that the enemy would love to infiltrate your marriage in this area, have others come in who lead you away. Either your thought life, maybe an internet, the screen or whatever, that's just pulling away you from your wife. And so we'd love to pray over you for that right now. So let's do that. Lord, we believe in marriage. We believe that you're doing an incredible thing. We believe that each couple here that is here this weekend, you established as a married couple for a reason and for a purpose. We believe that you love marriage. We believe you love this couple as well. We also believe this, as we just talked about, that the enemy would love to pull them apart, and he will use others to do that, whether through discouragement, Lord, in saying you can't stay with him or you can't stay with her, either through the discouragement, either through a screen, Lord, that maybe somebody's become addicted to pornography and they're looking at other women and it's pulling their heart away from their wife or their husband. And Lord, we believe that is happening. Lord, we pray that against that tonight, Lord, that there would be light being shed on that, that truth would come out. Lord, and there'd be a reestablishing of the sexual relation with the husband or the wife again, attraction again, that maybe has been lost or has lost ground in this area. We also, Lord, we just pray against co-workers, friends, people maybe who've taken a prominent spot in a husband or a wife's life that should not be. Maybe they've already started to become attracted to them. Maybe they've already made some things in order to be around them more often or to dress differently. And Lord, we pray that you would just come against that tonight. Lord, that you would just bring that into the light. And Lord, that you would begin to move them away again. Lord, give them the strength and the power to do that. Lord, I pray that you would just, if they need to be offensive, Lord, help them to be offensive in order to fight for their wife, in order to fight for their husband, for their marriage, if they have kids, to fight for their family. Lord, would you help them to be offensive in the right places, Lord, in order to guide them back to their spouses again? Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. We know this happens by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, would you just be poured out onto this place tonight? Lord, in any area maybe where marriage has lost ground, Lord, would you regain it again? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've looked at how others can bring conflict into our marriage, but how can others help? How can we be a help to other people? Here's how I think we see this in Nehemiah 4:12. Others warned them that the enemy was coming. Hey, warning, we're doing that tonight. The enemy is coming. He will come. I love this imagery in Nehemiah 4:19-20. Here's what it says. The work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. That is such an awesome image of hey, my family, we're going to be working on this part of the wall. And we're going to be working and we're going to be defending. We're going to be working and defending. And when we see the enemy coming to take us out and we blow that trumpet, other families from down the way, from working on the wall, will come and rally together with us to defend against this enemy. And I think that's a beautiful image of the church. That's what the church should be. Hey, the enemy is attacking my family right now. We need to meet with someone. Hey, the enemy is attacking my family right now. Would you pray for us? We were just talking to Kong and Lucia, and in their small group, and we do it in our small group, that if something's going on in one of our lives, in our small group, we'll text out, hey, be praying for. Hey, that's the trumpet, right? That's the help. Help, we need help. And so coming together with other people and praying over those things. Bethany is the Family Life Radio representative. She loves Family Life Radio and, hey, she loves Family Life Radio. Like, that's her thing. What else is the other one that you listen
Focus
to?
Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family. I feel like they're part of our family so much.
Today, guess what Dennis said? And I'm always like, I heard on a podcast.
But that is so healthy for us because she brings that into our marriage. That's looking to other people who are fighting on the wall. They're coming to help us through this form of podcast. She also reads books like marriage books like crazy. So if you ever want good advice on what books and where to listen, you can talk to her. People who can speak into our lives. You know, the Mike and Susie Rodriguez of Refuge, but Refuge is a lot of those that people you could go to and say, we're just struggling and we're blowing a trumpet. We need help on this part of the wall. The enemy is attacking. We need your help. Who can we go to? Who can we talk with? Connect groups.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you, I'm biased being the connections pastor. I just say get in fellowship with someone else, right? I mean, we just had the conversation. Kong Lucia, they just started leading one a year ago now, right? Roughly? A few months. It's been the whole last semester you did it. And it was like, they came in like, hey, this is awesome. We love this. We thought it was going to be a lot of work, but we've loved it. And so I would just tell you, get into one of those groups. We always are looking for people to lead those groups. We need more people leading the groups because people are coming at a rate saying, how do we get plugged in? How do we get plugged in? And I'm like, oh, well, we have these four. We got these five. We got these. We need more groups and more leaders. So please, if you're interested in that, if you want to be one of those defenders of marriage and you want to help people when they blow the trumpets, let me know that because we'd love to get you plugged into that.
And your spouse is another great other. Your spouse should be the other that is helping you out in marriage and helping defend against the enemy. Ecclesiastes, another verse for you to memorize, Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. So we are there for each other when we fall for the ploys of the enemy so that I can reach out to Jeff and I can say, I blew it, and have him there to help pick me up. Oh, makes me emotional. Don't give up on each other. Stand firm together when those around you seek to bring conflict into your marriage. Be an other for another.
Be an other for another.
You thought of it.
we're just coming up with these things. Be an other for another. That God is building your marriage, yes, for you, but also for other people around you to see. To say, hey, listen, I want what they have, whatever they have. I will just tell you this. Sometimes I think people will discount their marriages. Hey, we don't have that great of a marriage. We fight all the time. We argue all the time. That is usable. God can use that. Or, hey, we went through this season where we thought we were going to separate, but we didn't, and we fought for our marriage. That is usable by God. God will use that. People will call you and say, hey, in fact, that is so usable that they won't call us sometimes. They'll call the people who've really been through that. Hey, it was over. And people want to know, well, how did you do it, right? How did you do it? God will call those people. So be an other for another, that you are actually building this marriage that other people will look to and say, will you help us? We need help. Or how did you get to this place? What are you doing? And you can point them to the Lord and you can point them, hey, hard work, read the book, come to a marriage retreat, start building onto your marriage, be an other for another.
So as they did in Nehemiah, we need to sound the trumpet. When there's struggle, conflict, warfare, rally together, pray together, and watch God fight for you so that at the last trumpet sound, when we're all before God in his presence, we can look back and say it was totally worth it. And there will most likely be people around you that you didn't even know you touched their lives because of the marriage that you showed them by going through conflict together and showing them you can do this by the power of the Lord and allowing the Lord to fight your battles for you as you cleared out the rubbish and as you brick by brick, day after day, built up your marriage.
So what was the first area that we need to be careful of conflict? Who's going to cause it?
Satan.
Who's the second? Okay, third one is ourselves. It's us. We cause conflict in our marriages. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies when it comes to these things. We talked a little about pride and selfishness. If I am having a bad day, I can cause tremendous conflict within our marriage. It's just inevitable. It's like I am frustrated, I am angry, and sometimes I'm going to take it out in verbal and nonverbal ways with my wife. She's going to have a bad day with me. That we cause that own conflict within ourselves. We pick on them. We say things that we shouldn't say. It becomes something that just causes frustration. And now we're going to go with, Emerson likes to say, Egret's on the crazy cycle. Like we're going to keep going around because I had a bad day. So we can cause our own conflict.
So another way that I can cause conflict in my own marriage is when I bring up the past. When I say, well, I'm not surprised you don't do stuff with the kids because you never changed diapers when they were babies. Or, you know, whatever it is. You
She's never said that.
I've never said that.
She's thought it.
No.
Never said it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay. No. Or something.
I did change diapers, though.
Sometimes he did. Sometimes he did. And then also, sometimes. You know, like you never remember my drink at Starbucks. You never remember to get no cheese on my double double or whatever it is. Not bringing up the past. Last year, I think it was last year when we were sharing a message, Jeff had asked me if I could think of anything that he had done to hurt my feelings, like in our first year, like long, 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 long time ago. And of course, you know, we can be like, yep, I remember something.
I can give 10 things.
And so he had shared about our first month of marriage. I present him with the card, the anniversary card, the 1 month anniversary card, and he's mad at me because all of a sudden he's thinking there's an expectation I have to get a card every single month that we're married. And I'm like, fine, I don't get your cards anymore or whatever, however that ended up. So I remembered that. But you know what I completely forgot? That he had given me another card to make up for that card. And I just found it. I forgot about it. And I just found it like a couple months ago. And I was like, I don't even remember him like making this makeup card for me. I remembered the time he hurt my feelings, but I didn't remember when he like made up for it. So I have that card in a place that I can remind myself when I need to not hold grudges, not bring up the past.
That's right. I can cause conflict when I am not slow to speak or slow to anger. I can definitely cause conflict. I just don't hold my tongue. I don't practice any of the things we talked about this morning in communication. Foolishness. When we don't control ourselves.
Right. I can cause conflict when I'm not present, even when I'm present. If I am not, and we kind of talked about that in communication as well, being physically present around our spouse and not always with the face in the phone.
That is going to cause conflict, by the way. If you're not present, even though you're physically present, we've all been in trouble for that, have we not? It's like one of the things that it's like, oh my gosh, we are going to get, and so we don't learn though, we still do it. I still do it. We both do it.
No.
Yeah. 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 Totally. Like that blank stare of like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, right? We all fall into that.
Yes.
So being present when we're present.
I can cause conflict in my marriage when I grow weary of the work that is needed for a healthy marriage. And I stop proactively doing things to build life into my marriage. When you kind of get into that stagnant mode of going through the motions, I'm tired of working at this. We're just going to live together now. We're just going to be roommates. And we stop doing the things that are building our marriage. In Nehemiah 4, verse 6, it says, the people had a mind to work. And I love the New Living Translation for this, says, the people worked with enthusiasm. When you see the newlyweds, when you see the ones that have been married a year and they're here, they're like, we're going to work this out. We are so excited to be married. We're going to do the things that it takes to continue to build this marriage. And some of us have been married a while, need to take our cue from that and start doing the things again that breathe life back into our marriage. Remember why we married them and continue to build. I heard this quote, remember that marriage is holy even on days when it feels hollow. So remember that marriage is holy even on days when it feels hollow. In verse 9 of chapter 4 of Nehemiah, he says, we made our prayer to our God and set a watch day and night. So there are times that we just need to be more proactive. There are times God calls us to prayer and fasting. There's times he just calls us to be more proactive, more intense, just focusing on our marriages.
Yeah, yeah. So I can cause conflict when I make decisions without taking my spouse into consideration. We talk about this on when we do weddings, and you've got this ring. And I always like to point out, it's probably in Bill's notes. I probably just stole it from Bill, that these are reminders that these are we have the decisions that we make on a daily basis have a significant impact on another life. That when you wear this, it's not just like I'm making my own decisions. It's actually I'm making decisions that will impact her. And if you have kids, they're going to impact your kids. And if you have grandkids, they're going to impact your grandkids. That these are reminders that, listen, I could cause conflict if I just think about myself. Here's what I want to do. Here's what I'm going to do. And we forget that actually when I make a decision now, because I'm married and we're building this one, it has a significant impact on my family and on my wife. Mm-hmm.
I can cause conflict when I try to change my spouse. So we found out earlier today that we're different. We need to make peace with it.
We all found it, not just us.
Because we all. All y'all, as Jeff would say. We need to make peace with our differences. God created us differently. He just did. Focus on your own heart and who you are becoming, and not so much on the changes that your spouse needs to make. We so many times, instead of imitating the Holy Spirit, we want to be the Holy Spirit. And we want to tell our spouses, you need to stop doing this, you need to be more like this, you need to be more like that, instead of giving them room to hear from the Lord. And then I can cause conflict when I point out the negative in my spouse, and talked a little bit about this earlier before. But have you ever made a list of all the negative things that you see in your spouse? This is my prayer list for my spouse. And I'm going to talk to the Lord every day and say, God, I need you to change this. Make him take out the trash. Make him do this. He needs to start doing this and he needs to start doing that. And that becomes, that's great to pray for your spouse. But when you'd have the list of the negative things you see God needs to change in them, it almost makes those negative things like magnified, doesn't it? Because you're still like, this is still not changed. I guess I'll pray for it again today. Instead of being like, you know what, Lord, some of these things may not need to change. And I'm going to allow you to change in your time, on your timetable.
Here's where we need to close you're with the image. Okay. But I also want to say that's the thing that Bethany has done so well in our marriage is that she has a lot, and especially over the last several years, like just trusted in the Lord to say, you will change Jeff in this area. We've talked about it. We've gone around in circles about it. And now, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. Like, I'm going to ask that you change this area because we've talked about it. It's been addressed. I've addressed it. We've worked on it. And now, Lord, you need to change his heart. And so oftentimes that happens, guys, for us, for me at least, is in quiet time when I'm spending time with the Lord and he says something. And it's like she could have said it 100 times, but the Lord saying it and moving my heart to make that change is so much better and so much stronger. And so she's become really a woman of prayer in that area where it's like, I'm just going to pray for him. I want it to change, but Lord, you know Jeff, so will you change that in him? And I think she's done a really good job at that. And that's a practice to keep practicing, right? You got to keep doing it.
And so just the last illustration that I want to give with that idea of the negatives, not pointing out the negative things in your spouse is that photo negatives, you know, back in the day when they had photo negatives, I took photography with the being in the dark room, taking it all out and processing it, developing into everything. And I've got a ton of negatives in a box in my garage from however long ago that was. Negatives become positive images once they are processed and developed. Others can't see the glory of the positive image if the negatives are torn apart and destroyed. Try to see your spouse's negatives as an area for the Lord to develop into a positive image that brings him glory. We miss out when we belittle our spouse because of their negatives, especially in front of others. We miss out on the glory of the positive image that the Lord is creating from that negative. Don't let your spouse be like my box of negatives with no potential, just sitting there. So ask God to help you see past the negative and see how God sees all of us as the positive image, what he's making us. And when we expose the undeveloped film to harsh light, you know, when you've exposed that undeveloped film to harsh light, what happens to your pictures? They're destroyed. They're totally destroyed. So when you expose your spouse's negatives to the harsh light of everybody else around you, it destroys them. You haven't given them a chance to grow because you've been like, you know, negative, negative, negative. So we are entrusted with the negatives of our spouse by the Lord. We should be a safe place for them to develop into those negative images. And sweet Patty Pointer, Maynard, who went to be with the Lord this year, right? So he's in heaven. But I just remember when we first moved here in 97, our women's retreat joined another women's retreat, and they had a little Q&A time. And one of the women said, my husband is not a spiritual leader. What should I do about it? And the pastor's wife was like, or actually Patty Pointer called out and she said, sing his praises. And this is like the sweetest thing ever. You know, she's like, sing the praises of your spouse. Don't point out the negatives in your spouse. Sing his praises. So I just love that Patty said that, and I will always remember it. So building one another up and stop looking at the negatives and see how the Lord processes and develops them into positives or positive images. Yeah, you know.
Turn those conflicts upside
yes.
down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're done. Let's close in prayer. And then what I'd love to have you do, am I doing the survey? Can I talk? Do you want me to talk survey? Oh, you're coming. Okay. But I'm going to invite Aaron up. All right, Aaron, I'm going to invite you up. And let me close our time in prayer, and then we'll hand it off to you. Lord, thanks for just identifying three things. The enemy who wants to ruin the thing that you've done inside of us. Lord, the work that you're doing in our marriage. He would love to have people leave this weekend and just trash all that's gone on in the building up of your marriage. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen us to fight the enemy. Lord, he would love to use others to pull us away from our spouses. Lord, either again on a screen or at work or wherever. Lord, may that not be the case. May we understand that. May we look to that and say, not in my marriage. Not in my life. That's not going to happen. We're going to set up boundaries, Lord. We're going to fight for our marriages. And lastly, maybe some of us, as we've talked tonight about what we do in our own marriages to cause conflict, Lord, we maybe identified a couple things, one or two or three or 10. Lord, I pray that we would not do those anymore. Lord, that we really fight against those things, maybe that we've brought into the marriage that cause conflict and turmoil that are really pulling us apart from our spouses. May we identify those things, Lord, turn them quickly over to you, Lord, and reestablish in our marriage that health again. Thanks, Lord, that you care about our marriages so much, that you love us, and that, Lord, you are here for us even tonight, Lord, ready to reestablish and to build up our marriages again. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.